O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, August 24th, 2015. I have a special guest in the studio, but first let me make a few announcements and shout-outs. Great concert last night, Singing Men. It's the first time in the 17 years that I didn't sing with the men, but was in the audience observing. They presented in Decatur at the Harvest Bible Church and did an excellent job without our normal accompanist, Matthew Gladden. The last few weeks, Jeff, that's his American name, Jan, has filled in and did wonderfully. So quickly, some people filled out Voice of Listener Radio surveys, and I'll attach some prizes to these winners' names. Jing Hao from Champaign, Dean Crevenston from Lovington, and Margaret Clark from Blue Mound, Illinois. We'll all get a great book, appetizer coupon, and who knows what else I might find in our prize cabinet. Also, for those of you still trying to get a better, cleaner, clearer signal through 89.3 FM WGNJ, it looks like it won't be back up to full power for at least another 10 days to 2 weeks. We have modules ordered, but they only had one in stock, have to rebuild some others, and need me to return at least four so they can repair them. So, Lord willing, by the end of that first week in September, we'll have 89.3 FM back up to 50,000 watts, and we certainly appreciate your prayers. Okay, transitioning now to our special guest, and we'll begin with a reading out of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Hi, listening friends. Thanks for joining us for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And my special guest is not Zerubbabel, but it's Dr. Greg Dykstra. You live in Savoy, correct?
Yes, I do.
Married to Joan. Now, I don't know how many years. I know you have a 34-year-old daughter, Elizabeth.
My wife will kill me for telling you how many years we've been married, but we just celebrated our anniversary last Friday.
Last Friday. Well, congratulations. And, hey, tell me something about Joan before we talk a little about some of the unique things you've witnessed God do for Judah Christian School and even recently in Spain. So there's a lot I know we want to cover, and I'm so thankful for the divine appointment this past Saturday at the special Field of Dreams celebration for Judah Christian School, where you were telling me beforehand as we were praying that it's because you returned to get a backpack.
I forgot my backpack. Yes.
Met up along the trail.
There you were.
And that's partly why I read and began this program with Zechariah 4:10. So we'll have you share a little of why that verse was utilized on Saturday by you as you spoke to the group. But tell me something about Joan and then the two beautiful children that you have.
Well, Joan is a vibrant cheerleader type of person, and has just been the life of my life in picking me up when I'm down and enabling me to do more than I could have ever done before. We're both helpmeets to each other. Mm-hmm. I help her, and the things that she is doing, she helps me tremendously. And you asked me earlier, was it love at first sight? It was a blind date, and she walked down the stairs, and I went, oh, my gosh. Oh, my.
Now, who set up this blind date?
A friend of mine. He didn't have a car, and I did. And he had a date, and I didn't. So
so he said, hey, I have a friend that has a friend? It was kind of like that?
Well, his date set it up. She said, I know somebody. And
now, how long ago? Okay, we won't give out specific dates, but was this like in college? Or
I was in college, and she actually was not.
Okay. So she comes down the steps. Obviously, your heart started beating a little faster, and you thought, oh, this could go somewhere. Is that how it worked?
And she caught my eye, and I've never been caught by anybody else.
And then how much further after that, there was obviously some dating and getting to know each other, did you get married?
I would guess it was like 3 years later.
Okay. Oh, excellent. And then when did Philip come along?
Well, he came along in 1979, just a fine, young, strapping young man. And boy, we were excited. I can remember lifting him up like a Kunta Kinte in the movie before the church and saying, this is my son. And just as proud as I could be. And he ended up being an athlete, captain of his soccer team, and just everything he wanted to do, he was able to do it.
And through Philip and his wife, you have two grandchildren through them?
Yes, Alex and Sophie. And we take care of them on Mondays and Tuesdays and just have a lot of fun with them.
Now, God has used Elizabeth, your daughter, and she's now 34 in very unique and special ways. And I know she oftentimes listens to Christian music and is ministered to by the lyrics and the God-honoring message. She might be tuned in, so say Elizabeth has the radio on today. What would you want her to know? And I know Elizabeth still lives with you.
Yes, Lizzie, we love you so much. You're a big girl. Thank you so much for being in our family.
And God raised her up 34 years ago. I know it was during a time when your wife was pregnant and had, I guess, a kind of a severe or a major cold.
A very severe cold during the fifth month, and it affected Lizzie's brain. It caused a number of disabilities, but she's in a wheelchair, can't feed herself. But she is the joy of my life.
And you said these 34 years you've been caring for her. Whatever a few of the life lessons. I'm sure there's many ways God has used Elizabeth in your and Joan's life. But what would be a couple ones that now as you look back, you're like, thank you, God, I wouldn't want things differently because I wouldn't have been refined in this way or learned to have served in this way. Or what are some of those things?
It's actually hard to imagine life without Elizabeth. Because she's such a big part of our life. But we learned patience, learned God is in control. There is no doubt about that. And he has a plan for every one of us. He has a plan for Elizabeth. Maybe he's got a plan for me.
Now, how hard was it initially hearing the news that there's going to be some complications and like the doctor is saying, things do not look good? I mean, here you're anticipating your second child. Philip was healthy and wonderful and growing. Now you have Elizabeth and there's complications. Did you have a point where, now I know I'm taking you way back and we're going to talk about Judah Christian School and all the ways God has been at work through the many years, but I think this is something that many people can identify with. They prayed for something, were preparing themselves to be all excited for God's answer, and it didn't come the way they expected. In fact, it came to some points where it was filled with heartache or disappointment or frustration. How did you kind of look at God or view him?
Well, that's true. It could be viewed with heartache and disappointment, but the name Elizabeth means God's promise. And she was. She has caused me to grow in ways I can't imagine. I can't imagine life without her. I don't know what it would be like. And almost immediately, both of us realized that it was life-changing. It was going to change our lives dramatically. But it was something that we trust in the Lord. And because we trust in him, that was our daughter, and this was an opportunity that he had blessed us with to take care of someone better than she could have been taken care of in any other family.
Now, that's coming from a very mature point of view, somebody that's grown in the Lord. Were you this way when you came to Christ early on? I mean, it's a mature mindset to say, okay, Lord, if you've entrusted Elizabeth to us, we accept this. It wasn't maybe what we expected. But that kind of sometimes comes through maturity, that sanctification process. Were you a Christian at a very early age, so you were mature enough to see it through God's point of view?
I guess I was 8 years old in the Lord at the time Elizabeth was born. But he had given me a lot of experiences that prepared me for this. And Joan is a strong person also. And the two of us together just kind of locked hands together and said, this is where we're going. And I'm proud of my daughter. And that's the way it is.
And I ask that because there's some people tuning in that may be going through similar circumstances or could apply some of these truths into their lives. Maybe it's a job that they're frustrated in and they feel like, Lord, there's got to be something better. But he has them right where he wants them. Sometimes those frustration points or those places in life are exactly where God wants us to refine us, to change us, to open us up, or to be that ministering agent to others that are in similar circumstances.
If we can realize that, it's easier to walk forward. If you don't realize that, you're stuck. And I think the Lord wants to help you get out of that place. And not remove you from the situation, but get out of the hole that you've sunk yourself into. The Lord was gracious to us and just gave us courage to go forward.
Now, would you say you also have a proper perspective of who God is? Because I think if you know God is a loving God, a good God, a just God, then you can kind of maybe sort through when the emotions take over or when you're frustrated, you can say, yeah, but I know the plumb line with God is that he's good, that his character is wonderful, that he has our best eternal perspective in mind.
It's not just eternal. It's here, too.
Yeah.
Because we can say in the sweet by and by, it's all going to change. But it's not just the sweet by and by. He's made Joan and I better people here on earth because of Elizabeth. And, gosh, I wouldn't want to do anything without her.
Well, I began the program with the Zechariah 4:10, and that's something that you shared this past Saturday at the Fields of Dreams celebration, I guess the ribbon-cutting ceremony where hundreds of people came out to the new grounds that will, in the coming years, host the grade school and high school for Judah Christian School, but now they have the football, soccer field in, the baseball field in, and some of the roads and the sidewalks and as they plan for the future. But when Michael Chitty asked you to come up and say a few words, why did you share Zechariah 4:10?
I looked for a scripture verse, and I had a rough time finding one that I thought was appropriate. But boy, I'll tell you, when we started Christian schools here in Champaign County, it was small. Judah Christian started with very few students committed who was going to send their child to a high school and put their child's ability to enter into college in jeopardy. Is this really going to happen? All of that.
And you gave a lot of history. In fact, I think it goes back 30-plus years. So maybe can you do a thumbnail? Somebody tuning in, they've maybe read some of the stories in the News Gazette about Judah Christian School and the beginning of this new field of dreams and even some years back, because they were outgrowing the current facility, building, school that they had on Prospect and needing better parking or just the way of dropping off kids. And so I know Judah Christian School for the last so many years have been trying to dream where God may lead and so forth. But take us further back, maybe a little thumbnail of Judah Christian School, because I know tomorrow we're going to have Joe Thomas here in the studio and share some of the future vision for Judah Christian School and how God has raised him up to assist. But maybe give us a little history, and then maybe we'll have also some time to share about how God, even in the last few weeks, has worked through some unique situations while you were on a missions trip, I think, in Spain?
In Spain.
Okay,
yeah.
So if you can remember all that, little thumbnail sketch of Judah Christian School and some of the unique ways that you've seen him at work applying that Zechariah 4:10.
Well, in 1976, it goes back that far, we started a Christian school called Community Christian School, and it grew rapidly, but it started out very small too. We had combined classrooms and first and second grade together, third and fourth together. My wife was a third and fourth grade teacher.
Is that when you were using like Weber Street, the second floor?
No, that was at the Urbana Assembly of God, which is now Stone Creek. But the key thing in this Christian school that made it unique was that it wasn't supposed to be a church school. It was supposed to be a school for all churches, a multi-denominational school, so that we could minister to the whole body of Christ.
Yeah, kind of like, I think there's that terminology, non-denominational or trans-denominational, so all the individuals, regardless of what church they went to, would feel comfortable there.
Really wanted to. And it was mostly from the home church, but we had students from other churches. But that grew rapidly, and we all of a sudden had 181 students. And the parents were saying, I want my child to be able to go on to high school, a Christian high school. Well, there wasn't one. And so how do we do that? And so they started having meetings in the fall of 1982.
And now you were a part of those initial meetings, right?
Yeah, I had been principal of the Community Christian School. And so as we came into these initial meetings, I was gathering parents together to see, was this real? Is this kind of interest going? And there seemed to be a lot of interest. And so in December, we met at a house over in Urbana. Ben and Judy Lewis invited us to their house and had a bunch of people there. And it started to take shape. In the spring of 1983, then, we formed a school board. And in the summer of 1983, I'm on the telephone calling people, we are going to have a school. You want to have your child here? And we ended up having 72 students. We were in the Weber Street Church of Christ, and praise God for those wonderful people. They allowed us to use the second floor of their church, and go students up there. We did our best. But
now, and at this point, it's not called Judah Christian School.
Oh, yes, it was at that time. In fact, Judah was a tough name to come by. We we fought and fought over different names. Cornerstone Christian School, Champaign-Urbana Christian School.
And this is back in
1982? 83. The summer of 83. And a lady was in our meeting, Margie Pickett, and she said, the Lord just keeps telling me, Judah Christian School. Mm. We discounted it. No way. That sounds like a silly name. Mm. And by the time we were done with that meeting, we had chosen Judah Christian School. Mm. It stuck. And it's been such a neat thing. The tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. It just fits. It, Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has conquered. You know, there are all these different things. Sure. And it just, it really fit.
So Judah kept growing and was growing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Joe tomorrow will address it. I think Michael Chitty mentioned it was like 500, and it's like 563. An incredible number. This year is the largest enrollment they've ever had.
It's grown rapidly.
I'm a little biased, but little Esther now entering her first grade. And so I've been singing praises. I appreciate what the school stands for, their heart. I'll give you one example that really impressed me, but I remember Lori Scott. She was the kindergarten teacher for Esther last year. She made a point where, you know, if an ambulance goes by, we stop right what we're doing, and we will pray. Yep. And I'm thinking, wow, what an environment for Esther to grow in. And she's just flourishing. And even in her prayer time at dinner time, I'm like, where is she coming up with these prayers? And I know it's the influence of Judah.
Fun?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sold and very excited about things. And I know tomorrow Joe will share some of the future vision. But so you've been there from the very beginning.
The interesting thing is that Joe's wife, Audra, was in the third grade the first year that Community Christian School started. Hmm. And so Audra Thomas, his wife, was in my wife's class when we started that very first school. Now she's a emergency room doctor and serving the Lord in that way.
Wow. So back in 83, it was now known as Judah Christian School. Enrollment was growing. You grew out of Weber Street, right?
Oh, very quickly. We started with 72 students, and I don't remember what it was the second year, but it was, we were bursting at the seams and we needed a new place. And then Lottie Switzer School was available for sale. We purchased it and moved in.
I remember some of this because now we're in our 20th year, Great News Radio.
Yes.
Back in 1995, we were incorporating, and then in 96, we went on the air. And I remember just some of the announcements about Judah Christian School through our public service announcements as you were growing and moving. So where did you go? What was the next phase of growth for Judah Christian School?
Well, we started with 7th through 10th grade, and we grew one year at a time. And finally, in the third year of the school, we graduated our first four students. They were all girls, and they graduated and all went on to college. And very successful careers now. Hmm. And we continued to grow and then decided, let's put in an elementary school. And so we started with a high school and junior high, went down to elementary, and then added a preschool after that.
So all at on Prospect Avenue. All so when you mentioned the other name of the grade school, that was that location.
The early grade school was at the Urbana Assembly of God, and then we moved to the Savoy School that's down there on Church Street in Savoy, and that we just got too large for. An elementary school stayed there. We took their junior high and then started the high school with the junior high students.
At the Prospect Avenue campus?
At the Weber Street Church.
Oh.
There for 2 years, and then went from the Weber Street Church, purchased the Lottie Switzer, a place on Prospect, and that's where
we're at. Current location, formerly known as Lottie Switzer.
Lottie Switzer School. In fact, the name Lottie Switzer is covered up with a placard that says Judah Christian.
Okay. And I think tomorrow, as people tune in, we'll let Joe kind of lay the future plans and the campaign that's going on and the very successful this past Saturday launching of the Field of Dreams. So, yeah, so many people can't wait. And I know many of the students and the faculty, the teachers and the coaches, to have their own playing field, home court advantage, if you will, which Judah Christian has never had in these many years.
Never had it.
Well, I know recently you were in Spain, and off air we were talking about divine appointments, how you and I even met up on Saturday, and that Jason would say that was providential, not circumstantial. It was like a divine appointment. I mean, it was circumstances, but a few people had said, you got to get a hold of Dr. Greg Dykstra. He has got a unique testimony. He's been involved in Judah Christian for many years, and even how God has worked through him. And so being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, you can't ever retire or sit on the sidelines. And you were recently in Spain on a missions trip, I believe.
Yes, I went for 3 weeks to Spain. I was alone, mm-hmm. and had to talk to everybody in Spanish for 3 weeks, and that gets lonely. I can share Jesus Christ with people in Spanish, but when I get beyond that, I have a hard time. Mm-hmm. I memorize more scripture verses in Spanish than I know in English. Mm-hmm. And so I can go ahead and talk to a person with scripture verses, but when I come to order food or other necessities, I stumble a little bit.
Well, then what influenced you to go to Spain and desire to be on the short-term missions trip by yourself? Or like what was leading up to that you said, Joan, you know, I just feel God's calling me to go to Spain. I mean, there's got to be more to the story.
This is kind of funny. Okay, Joan and I work very well together as a team. Mm-hmm. And this is not going to sound like it. But back in 1973, God actually called me to Spain.
Hmm.
And I said, God's called me to Spain. Joan, let's go. Now, she was a Christian, too. And she said, well, he hasn't called me. And so I went to my pastor and said, Pastor Foth, could you talk to my wife? I mean, God's called me to Spain. And he told me, Brother Greg, when your wife is ready, you'll be ready. So for 25 years, I prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1998, in February, Joan said to me, Greg, why don't you take Phil to Spain?
Hmm.
It took me 2 days to book airplane flights. I didn't want her to change her mind.
Oh, yeah.
And so we bicycle hiked across Spain from Pamplona to Alicante. It was about 700 miles.
Hmm.
And had a wonderful time learning about Spain. And that's when it started. And I don't know how many trips, 26, 27 trips I've taken there. And I've brought students with me. Sometimes a trip as large as 31 people. Sometimes as small as just me.
Hmm.
This one was just me. But what the Lord put on my heart was to share with all of the villages in the area of Aragon that are less than 250 people. And on this past 3 weeks, I finished those towns. And it's a wonderful feeling to have accomplished what the Lord asked me to do.
And I know you had, amongst probably many, a divine appointment with, I think it was 3 students, and you learned a little more after sharing a little message that you give utilizing your wristband or mm-hmm. your bracelet, if you will.
I have a bracelet here, and I encountered an angel. The way I found out, as I was talking to some young men from Africa, and they're over in Spain, they're very much separated from the in a work crew, they sit in one place and the white people sit in another. And I went over and sat down with the guys from Africa and talked to them. I said, why are you sitting here? What's wrong? And we talked about the discrimination that was going on. And there were just 2 guys. And one guy whose name was Rubio, and he was big as a football player. Is my height. I'm 6'1". And we hugged each other and talked for a while. And then finally, Rubio says, you're not leaving right now, are you? I said, no, I'll be here Monday. He says, come Monday. So I did. Rubio wasn't there, but 3 other guys were. And the 3 other guys, I waited and looked. I had donuts and everything for them, but also the wristbeads and Bibles and the whole bit to give to them. Rubio wasn't there. And so I went down and sat next to him. One guy's name was Bo, another Samba, and the other Bienbo or something like that. And I talked to them and shared the message of the beads. They're different colored beads. Starts out with gold, the streets of gold, and black is our sin, and red the blood of Christ, and white that our hearts can be white as snow, and green is the way we can grow. When I got to the red, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from our sins. The guys started looking at each other and folding up the message that I had given them, and they said, we are Muslim. I said, well, good. This gives us an opportunity to talk about it. And so we talked about it a little while longer. And had Rubio not been there on Saturday and encouraged me to come on Monday, I would have never done.
Right.
Now, these guys said, I asked them, where's Rubio? There's no Rubio. We don't know a Rubio. No, no. He's here all the time. He's from Guyana. And they said, no, there's no guy on our crew from Guyana. And
hairs on your arm start going up at the time?
They're up right now because those are encounters that you don't realize until after it's over.
Right.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I just talked to an angel who directed me here, and that's a divine appointment.
Hmm. And I wonder how many times God's trying to orchestrate us, get our attention so they can do those miraculous works or involve us in somebody's lives and even planting the seeds. And I love your perspective with these Muslim men when they shared, well, we're Muslim. That's great. And I don't know if you know Bob Sievers. He attended the Urbana Theological Seminary, who... They also help sponsor T-shirts and stuff at the Field of Dreams. And I saw Ken Cuffey and others. And I know Joe Thomas has been on faculty there and so forth. But Bob Sievers did a Conversations Matters talk last Sunday about reaching out to the Muslim and befriending them and opening up lines of communication. And many Muslims, they honor and respect Jesus. They don't quite look at him as we do, as followers of him. But it's a way of entering into a conversation, and who knows what kind of seeds you planted that can bear fruit in the coming days. So
that's right.
God allows all these experiences to come together for his purposes, and I'll certainly ask our listeners to pray for those three men that you got to witness to in your future missionary work there in Spain, and continuing to be a good husband to Joan and a great caretaker of Elizabeth, who tunes in, and your two grandchildren, and looking after Philip and his wife. So we'll just ask the Great News Radio listeners to keep Dr. Greg Dykstra in their prayers as he comes to mind. And today, hopefully, something that was said and shared will stir in your heart. If you want to talk to trained counselors, it's a free call. These are people that would love to share with you how to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, how to walk faithfully following him, how to draw on the strength of God through the Holy Spirit. Any kind of questions about the Christian faith, you can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call, and it might be a day for you. Maybe you're searching for God, that you'll find him. And so we'll have Joe Thomas in the studio tomorrow, and we'll talk a little more about what God's doing in and through Judah Christian School, and I'm sure through some of Joe Thomas's testimony, you'll be blessed. So tune in at the same time tomorrow. Well, thank you, Dr. Greg, for being available. I know it was kind of one of the spur of the moments to get you out here to the home studio, but we appreciate your time and energy and effort, and we'll ask the Lord to continue to work in and through you in the days ahead.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.